right there. Right off.
Are you baked right now?
I wish.
You're totally baked.
I wish.
Totally baked.
I'm always. I think I'm forever.
These
baked.
Nuts.
Jonah's birthday card to me. He said, "Happy birthday to my soulmate." I almost.
What are you laughing at?
I just, he's like cute. It's Jonah. Like Jonah.
Me and Jonah, you have no idea. Kel, how's Polly?
No oh, phone
I'm
this
sorry.
Podcast.
Don't
no
tell
phone
me
this
what
podcast.
To do.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let's introduce Connie.
Yes.
Please.
Okay. Hi. How's it going? Welcome to the Osbournes podcast. This is episode 9. And today we are being joined by the lovely Connie Wilson.
Woo! Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Connie.
It's so great to be here. It's not
Connie,
even.
Connie.
I'm so happy
I
to be here.
I have to say that out of all of our family friends, Connie is definitely in like aww. My top 5.
Thank you, darling.
Like,
Kelly's just saying that
you.
Because
I
she wants
you.
More of your baked goods.
No, I can't even eat the baked goods now that I'm vegan. It's
I
just...
have vegan.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I'm very excited.
Yes.
And I'm also going to Connie's house to have a baking lesson.
Yep.
Oh.
Tell your mom.
Anytime. Come over, all of you. I'd love to give you guys
can't,
baking
can't
lessons.
Treat an old dog new tricks, Dad.
Don't call mom old or a
dog.
Dog,
you fucker.
If Jack was a dog, what do you think he would be?
I would, a bulldog.
He would be, yeah.
I would be like a discarded like dog that no one wants.
A bulldog.
I feel like he would be like a
old puffy chested
cockapoo.
So, Connie, let's talk about you a little bit. When did you begin your journey into music? Obviously, you come from a musical family. What inspired you to be like, hey, you know what? I want to do what my family does.
Well, let's see. I remember being on stage with the Beach Boys.
I just want to clarify too for listeners. If you're an idiot and don't know, Connie's father is Brian Wilson.
Yeah,
so just
right.
Just to like, you know, because from the Beach Boys.
Right.
Just that little band.
If you're under a rock, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And I remember during Good Vibrations at the end of the song, or actually the part where it goes, gotta keep those love good vibrations, you know, that section. Carl would call all the kids out and say, okay, come on, because we'd be waiting like racehorses, you know, to go out of the cage and get on the stage and sing. So I remember going on the stage during Good Vibrations and being very, just that adrenaline in front of the audience. That's when I knew I'd love to be in front of an audience. And singing, I always sang. And we would sing harmony. My mom taught Wendy and I how to sing harmony, singing to Bob Seger, still the same. And we used to sing Barracuda and Heart, and we learned
ooh,
harmony.
Barracuda.
Our mom taught us harmony, but it was just it was music was everywhere. It was just kind of like my calling,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Did Jonah go on stage with you?
Jonah was always mortified to be in front of people.
Let's just contextualize Jonah for a second. Who's Jonah?
Jonah is my first cousin, son of Carl Wilson, my dad's late brother. So Carl had two kids, Jonah and Justin, and I was very close with Jonah and Justin, but Jonah was only a year younger than me, so we were always like, you know, we were like brother and sister, really. So Jonah was very shy. He didn't want to have anything to do with it.
And Jonah is our family realtor. He's a very successful
right.
real estate agent in Los Angeles.
Very.
Lovely guy.
And
he has lovely guy.
Helped
so
us buy
he's
and sell.
He's my neighbor.
Do you know
oh,
what's
friend.
So great about Jonah? Because people always think, oh, real estate, he's going to be pushy. He's going to be this. Jonah doesn't give a fuck.
He
will take you to 1,000 houses. And if you don't like him, he goes, I don't care.
Exactly.
That's fine by me. Do you want it? Yeah or no? Okay, bye. He honestly doesn't give a shit.
The best part about it.
Yeah.
But
that's why he's so successful, I think.
And when you ask for real estate advice, it is so spot on. And he will break down why, if you
totally.
Like it, what's really good about it for
yep.
you and why. You know, he's great. And he'll give you the pro and cons and everything.
He's fantastic.
And he's such a diva.
Oh, my God. It's the fun. It is the funniest thing. I want you to know that Jonah, for a long time, I went into music at a young age, right after high school, and we kind of didn't know what Jonah was going to do. He was a little, he was kind of wandering, and
no,
we weren't really sure about his path, right? But I do know that we used to roll these joints that were like they were spleefs. I mean, they were absolutely spleefs. And we would go, and we would get in his car, his red Saab, And we would go in his car and we would cruise around Holmby Hills and we would get so stoned And we would play Luther Vandross and Sade, and then we'd go to like disco and Donna Summer and all these great like disco songs. And we would get wasted and we would drive in front of these houses and he would go, look at this one. Now look at this one. Look at this gate. Look at these flowers. Look at this structure. Look at this street. And he was fascinated with real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So it,
and he was high.
And he was high as a kite. But I thought to myself, you know, one of these days, he or I are going to be either living in these homes or something's going to happen with houses. And of course it did, because he loves it.
Nice. Do you want to hear a funny story one day about our building? Okay, so Jonah and I own an apartment in the same building as Jonah. And even though I moved out and rented my apartment because I wanted to move closer to Jack and the kids, this was when I still lived there. My apartment was on fire and they evacuated the whole
literally
building.
On fire?
On fire.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, your apartment wasn't. Oh, no, you was.
No, it was
yes,
my
your apartment,
apartment
did catch mm-hmm. fire. That's
and they
right.
evacuated the whole
oh
building,
God.
Right?
Yeah.
The one person who refused to leave was Jonah.
Don't even tell me that.
Was Jonah, because he was taking a nap in bed and didn't want to be disturbed.
And he knew it was your apartment.
Yeah, he
and
did.
He's like, oh, fuck it, I ain't going.
Did you ever find out what caused that fire, Cole?
Still don't know.
How?
Jonah. Must have been a candle.
Jonah. Oh,
the
my
thing
God.
About, I didn't have any candles. I want you to know that Jonah and I used to go to Weight Watchers camps together because every year, Jonah and I were the heavy siblings. Wendy and Justin, my sister Wendy and his brother Justin, were always skinny and we were always fat. So we would go to Weight Watchers camp together every year, the fat camp. And Jonah was voted laziest camper because, and I'm not exaggerating, he would, when we had to do like the leg lifts, he would lift his pinky toe. That was as far as he was going to do for exercise. And we broke into the nutritionist's kitchen and we stole all the diet pies that she made for the cooking class the next day.
Oh
and they
gosh.
Had a whole meeting with the camp and they were like, somebody went and stole the pies. And we were like, it was us. So we got we got in trouble, but nothing happened because it was like we were like, you know, known as the Beach Boys kids there. And we came every summer. We would lose the weight, gain it back and come back to fat camp every fucking year.
Did you say you just did it because you loved camp so much?
I actually loved it. I loved it.
Can you tell us the story? I want you, the kids and Ozzy to hear it, that you told me about the security guard.
Okay, so here's the thing. It actually wasn't the security guard, but it was kind of like his security guard. This is like mind-blowing. All right, so Mike Love of the Beach Boys has two brothers, okay? He has Steve and Stan. And Stan Love Stan Love was a Laker. He's like 6, you know, he's 7 feet tall. And his son, Kevin Love, okay, huge basketball player, right? Stan was like brought in by my mom years ago in the mid 70s to kind of whip my father into shape. He was like, I don't know, he was on some drug thing and a bender. And then my mom's like, we're going to get you a bodyguard/exerciser motivator. And it's going to be Stan because Stan's going to kick your ass. You know, you're going to play basketball and lose weight. So Stan came to our house and Jonah was always there. And Stan came to the house and he made Jonah and I get on the fucking treadmill.
How dare he?
7 years old. Ugh.
Bastard.
Made us get on the treadmill and run. And I just had this memory of this guy going, faster, faster, faster. And I'm like, I was crying. This is like complete torture. And my mom was like, well, it's not such a bad thing because you got to lose weight. Why don't you join in? Well, we were so pissed at him for abusing us and making us run on the treadmill that Jonah and I took a rock from the yard. We went outside and we found a rock and we carved on his 450 SEL Mercedes, fuck you, asshole, on the side of the car with the rock. Fuck you, asshole. And then we took his apple juice jar in the back seat. I emptied out the apple juice and we both peed in it. So we left it in his back seat as a present. Piss, replacing the apple juice. Yeah, we sure did. So when the Beach Boys were doing some kind of recording not long after that, Joan and I were called into the room. And we were confronted by everyone, and we got in really big trouble.
I can imagine so.
Yeah, yeah. And so and so we said, yes, it was us, and you know, we hate him and everything, and it was awful. But so fast forward to about 4 years ago when Dad was playing at the Greek Theater, Stan Love came to see Dad sing. And ever since I got sober, I'm like, you know, amends, 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 amends. Say you're sorry, you know. So I did my amends. And so I went, so I said, Stan, I want you to know that I'm really sorry that I carved fuck you asshole on your Mercedes and I peed in your apple juice. I'm very sorry. I just want you to know that I'm sorry that I did that. And of course I started crying and he's like, it's no problem. It's okay. It's cool. It's cool.
It was 1970 what?
It's the truth. He was probably, you know, who knows, but I made my amends. I cleared the air.
Did Jonah?
No.
No.
Jonah's like, fuck that guy.
No. I don't think Jonah's ever said, I don't think he said a word to him in 20 years.
No.
No, I just love how every time Jonah comes to the valley, he's like, this heat is just so offensive.
He hates it.
Offensive.
No, it's the first thing. You don't understand. Jonah used to lay in front of a fan. He took about 3 showers a day, and then he would lay in front of a fan and just like lay on the bed with the fan on him, like 1 foot away from his face.
No, the best thing I ever saw of Jonah was he's in the car and he's smoking a cigarette and he's all of 10.
Jonah?
Where did you see that?
Wait a minute.
Oh, it's a classic shot of him in this car driving, smoking a cigarette.
Carl Wilson literally taught me how to drive. It was Stone Canyon Road and I drove his Rolls at 6 years old. He let me drive the car.
What a great upbringing you had.
6 years of age?
6 years old. He goes, come on, let's go down the street. Because Jonah has been obsessed with cars, his son Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
First time I ever got in a car, I got behind the wheel, and I'll never forget, I went out and he goes, easy does it, because I pressed on the gas really fast. It was his green Rolls on Stone Canyon Drive.
Oh, that's quite a learning experience.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, you took my car. I'm turning fucking stuck.
No, you dashed into a tree.
You know what? There's a lot of judgment coming from that side of the room. So how come? Because for me personally, like growing up in a musical family and musical father, I was always like, nope, not doing music. It's just too big of a daunting world to enter in at, because I always felt that no matter what, even in like television, they're like, oh, it's only because he's Ozzy's son. Like I have that kind of. Well, that bit of an insecurity to ever have gone it. Plus, I'm not musical at all.
I think you should have just started with, I can't sing and I'm not musical.
Well, no, because I could play drums a little bit.
Right.
So there are other options. I could have been an amazing flautist. You don't know that.
But what's that?
Oh, playing the flute?
Flute.
You didn't want it. You didn't want it.
No, because for numerous reasons, but one of them was I didn't want to be only ever compared to a family member, father.
Right.
Did that ever bother you? Was that ever a concern for you?
You know, Wilson Phillips started so organically, and I listened to the Beach Boys and many other groups, Fleetwood Mac, the Eagles, and ABBA, and Bee Gees, and, you know, anything from the 70s and the 80s, but really the 70s. And I was so obsessed with harmony that I never, I had like blinders on. I was like, in school, I was getting everybody together. We got to sing harmony. And we would, you know, imitate all these groups. And then when China and Wendy and I started singing together, we knew that there was such a great sound that I never thought about anything else. I didn't think about what people would think. I didn't think about even a career. I just thought, we got to sing together and we got to start writing music. And then when we put the record out, We were working with a producer, Richard Perry, and he kept saying, you guys got to write your own songs because you're not going to get any respect if you don't write your own music. So we did. We started writing our songs and hooked up with Glenn Ballard and wrote our songs. And when the music came out, everybody was like, yeah, they had to say, oh, you know, they come from Beach Boys and Mamas and Papas legacy, but we made our own mark. And so I always felt confident.
It's got to be tougher than anybody else. If somebody who didn't
people's
affect.
Expectations are always they
compare you.
It's not as good as Vibrations. Or,
never will be.
I know, but that's what they'll say.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we just, but it was, it like I said, it was like a very organic, it was kind of like, I feel like it was a divine thing that we sing together. Really, the core of me is extremely spiritual, and that comes from my dad. And I have to joke around because there's so much pain that has been in my history that I have to have that humor and that spirituality mm-hmm.
When did your mother and father break up?
Mom and dad?
Yeah.
You know, he was just really, he couldn't be a father, and that really wasn't it. Mom was great, but he was very, very, very messed up on drugs. And he, you know, I wrote a book. I've written a few books, but I did talk about the fact that he was so, so out of his mind one day, and he tried to make me, you know, put some heroin up my nose, some powder. And I ran in the other room. I was 10 years old. And, you know, at that point, my mom was like, okay, that's it. It's really a danger now to the kids. So, and I know that after all these years, we've had a lot of healing, and he's apologized for what he's done. What is that farting sound I'm hearing? Is that a chair?
That's no, the fucking dog.
The dog what? Snoring. It's my dog. I if anybody's it. Wondering.
What that
deep
is.
Deep breathing, snoring. It's Bella.
It just goes with the story. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, so it's like it is. It's a really intense thing to think about. But I know that he was really out of his mind at that time. So he has, we have healed our relationship. And he has told me, I never could be a father. I'm so sorry for, you know, what I've done. And I love you more than anything in the world. And so that's all I needed to hear. And because what can you do? You can't erase the past.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, look at the time, look at the era. You can't erase what you've done. You know, you only move on. And my mom, and he loves my mother, just respects her so much. And always says, how's your mom? You know, she's the best person I know. And that gives me that kind of comfort, even though that they're divorced, that I know that deep down inside, they'll always have that kind of, you know, that respect.
Sure, for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's intense. It's,
and probably it is. If they met now for the first time, mm-hmm. it would be completely different, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was 14 when they met. I mean, they were married at 16.
That's oh, wow. so young.
Yeah, she was 14. I mean, they got married at 6. She was 16 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Different times.
Where did they meet? At school?
He was doing a concert, and she went and went to go see the Beach Boys in like 1961 and right in the beginning, and he spilled some hot chocolate on her. And then she like and then they touched base, and then he proposed when he was in Germany over the Aww. Phone. Yeah, and he loved my grandma May, my mom's mom. And he still does. But yeah, it's pretty neat. You know, music was kind of inevitable for me, so that's it, you know.
This podcast is brought to you by Casper.
So Casper is a mail order mattress, and it literally comes in the mail and you unfold it and it opens up like a flower in the spring.
No, I just love watching it
it's unfold. Cool, isn't it?
It's just incredible. It's the best. It makes me smile. And you know what? We've put it, the mattress that we have, we put it in the spare room and I end up sleeping there because I like the mattress so much.
There's the Wave, there's the Essential. The Wave features a premium support system to mirror the actual shape of your body. The Essential has a streamlined design and the price won't keep you up at night.
And their pillows are amazing. I love their pillows.
Do you know, on Detour, mm-hmm. I slept on a spring mattress. I forgot how uncomfortable they are.
The others are so redundant now.
This is a 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. If you don't like it, send it on home.
Do you know what's really interesting is the fact that they even feel the need to have 100 nights risk-free, because I think after your first night sleeping on a Casper mattress, you're like, okay, I'm not sending this back.
It is pretty cool.
If you guys want a Casper mattress and you want to get $50 towards a select mattress by visiting casper.com/Osbournes and using the promo code Osbournes at checkout.
And that's casper.com/Osbournes using the promo code Osbournes at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Yeah, so I always find it fascinating with the kind of Beach Boys legacy of that. The music was very kind of light, uplifty, good rock and roll, but there was a lot of kind of darkness surrounding the band to a degree. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of interesting how it didn't necessarily reflect in the music that they were producing and writing, but kind of, it, I always found that fascinating.
Dad went inward and said, you guys have to go out on the road while I create. And if you listen to certain Beach Boys songs, you would be totally enlightened and amazed at the depth and the beauty. And Paul McCartney loves that side of the Beach Boys. Mm-hmm. He told my dad that. And seeing Paul and my dad together is one of the cutest things you've ever seen. They become like little boys. It's really neat. But yeah, I know that there is that kind of like that dichotomy.
For sure. Yeah.
It's
and
cool.
Then, and then you add in that weird Charles Manson.
I was about to know.
Oh, yeah.
What was that album he released years after? It was a solo album, I think.
Oh, Dad's solo album?
What was it called?
Oh, that was really good. That was, it had...
name it was.
Oh, fuck. What was the title?
Smile? No.
Smile.
Yeah, Smile.
That was Beach Boys, but Smile, yeah.
I was watching a program about the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
And the Beatles and Beach Boys, we were exchanging harmonies and things.
Yes. He always talked about that, you know, and what was cool is when the Beach Boys did, Sgt. Pepper's came out. And then Dad said, I need to beat this record. Those were his words. Mm-hmm. So he wrote Pet Sounds, and that's where Good Vibrations, God Only Knows came in. Wouldn't it be nice? And Don't Worry Baby. And with a really cute story is my dad would come home from the recording sessions of Pet Sounds, and he would say to my mom, I'm scared. I'm not going to do as good as Sgt. Pepper, Mayor. I don't think I can do this as good. And she would say, don't worry, baby. Everything will be all right. Don't worry, baby. And then he wrote Don't Worry Baby.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's really neat. It's a really cool thing. There was kind of like this dual thing, but I don't think it came from Paul. Dad is really competitive, but has a heart of gold. You know, he's competitive by nature, but he's grateful for every music that's ever been created. You know,
I think I met your dad once.
I met him a few times.
Once when he came, because he looked at one of our houses that we were selling, and he came to look around it. And he really liked Dad's studio in the back. And I just remember he had a yellow T-shirt on and he was very nice.
Very nice.
Very, he's very nice.
Very gentle.
Met him, when I first met him.
I don't know.
I did the thing at the Palace in London and he was there.
Oh, right.
He's kind of, if you recognize you, you're in luck.
Right.
If you don't, he looks at you if you're not there.
Right.
He's fine. He says, how are you doing?
I know someone else like that.
Might be some musicians training.
It is, yeah. I mean, think about how many people you've met in your life.
Exactly.
I mean, billions. So, you know.
Yeah.
All right, enough about parents. Let's talk about you.
Okay.
What's been what would you say is your greatest moment as a musician? Like, if you think about it, like, you know what? That's like the crowning thing of that, like, for me was like it. Or have you had it yet?
Yeah. I think when we had our first number one record, we were in Japan and it was 3 a.m. and the president of our record company, Charles Koppelman, called and said, you did it. You guys went number one. And
that's so cool.
I think we knocked out Vogue, Madonna's Vogue, out of number one slot, and Hold On went good. Number one. And this is when we were selling records. We were selling like 100,000 records a week.
It was that's
sick.
Amazing.
It was sick. I mean, having a number one record is probably the.
That's
it took
cool.
me. It took me how many years?
About 45.
45 to get my first number one.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
First,
slow burner.
I wouldn't think that.
We got number two home. We got the last Black Sabbath album once no more.
It's great.
In 13 countries?
Yeah.
It feels good.
I finally climbed that mountain.
There you go.
And don't you love that it had a whole new revival when Bridesmaids put it in the movie? And
that was amazing.
Yeah, talk about Bridesmaids.
It taught a whole new generation of people.
Whole new.
That song. Like,
right.
And it's weird because it's a song I've always known and always loved. And then when I saw my friend's kids singing it too, I was like, now they get to learn all about
right.
this. And
yeah, talk about the Bridesmaids. How'd that come about? Like, were you guys, was it like a a very natural thing, or talk about it.
Okay, so we got a phone call from, I don't know, the publicist, and they said, so there's this movie coming out, it's Judd Apatow, and we can't tell you anything about it, but it's called Bridesmaids, and there's a lot of great actors in it, and they want to feature Hold On in a wedding scene. And we were like, okay. And that's all they would tell us. So we said, well, if it's Judd Apatow, we're like, yeah, let's go right now. So we went and we filmed at like from midnight to 3 a.m. And it was...
Oh, those are great hours.
It was perfect hours.
Wait, that's crazy. It was I thought it was a daytime scene.
No,
it looks daytime
nighttime.
In the
night. No, it's nighttime.
It's night.
It's on the water.
Right. It's like this place where they had like these like cement with little pools of water.
The little circle cement thing.
Yeah.
When I watched that, I was like, I wonder how they got them on that.
I know. So we all I remember is this huge, you know, those big fans, you know, that they put like, and so I was so hot. I kept lifting up my dress and fanning my ass because I was so fucking hot. It was boiling hot in the middle of the summer. And we did about 14 takes. And but before the movie, we went into this big trailer, and Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph, Melissa McCarthy, all the actresses were there, and we were all in hair and makeup together. And I never had watched Mike and Molly. This is before Melissa McCarthy got huge. And Kristen Wiig, I didn't even know how funny she was from Saturday Night Live and stuff. Maya Rudolph, I've always loved. And we started talking with each of them, but nobody knew anything about the movie, and we were clueless. So all I know is that when I was talking with Melissa McCarthy, I kept saying to myself, this is the funniest person I've ever talked to in my entire life. She's the funniest human being I've ever talked to. So we had a great, great time with them. We went out and did our scene, did it about 14 times, and the movie came out. We still don't know anything about the movie. I take my kids to the movie. Here is Lucy. She's about 3 years old.
Oh, no.
And there's Kristen Wiig on top of the guy fucking him. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm like, go out of the theater. Wait about an hour and a half and come back. Because we come on, you know, we're in the last scene. So come back in an hour and a half. I laughed so hard. It's one of my favorite movies ever. I loved it so much. And I cannot believe that we're actually a part of that film because it's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies ever.
It is the funniest movie.
There's so many lines in that movie that I still use in real life. Like... when she goes, help me, I'm poor.
You got to say IRL.
What?
IRL.
I don't know what that means.
In real life, it's internet talk.
Oh, weird nerd. No, we're just like,
or remember she said,
you do?
Right. Or she'd say, okay, stove.
Stove.
Instead of Steve.
Just that whole movie where she's like, look away.
Oh my God, when she shit in the sink. I swear to God, I've never... Melissa McCarthy's character with her leg on the airplane and she grabs her thigh, you know, it's just like, and I love it because her husband just loves every inch of her.
Oh, you can tell, can't you?
He loves her. He worships everything about her. Yeah. She's magnificent. That was a great thing. I'm very grateful for that. And
she lives
right.
in the Valley.
She does.
I've seen her in the Valley. Yep. Hey.
Our kids used to go to school together.
So we're all like neighbors now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we live in the Valley.
Yeah,
homes.
We're Valley people, which
now
I love.
Now I get to go further underneath your wing and
come
around the hood with you.
Anytime.
Were you ever concerned having kids in LA and raising kids in LA?
No, because, you know, it's my home. And I'm not Hollywood type.
You are not Hollywood type at all.
I don't know. I think when I first met you, was on the Sunset Strip, though. So
no, but
I was probably drunk.
But it's not about that. It's just like you, out of anyone I know, you could be so Hollywood if you wanted to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, you technically are a Hollywood legend, but it's so far away from who you
but
are.
But you know what, though?
That's
that is a common... People, I think, who are actually raised in L.A., from L.A. families, like... You don't really get that douchey. It's the implants that are douchey.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just never, I don't know. I all I know is that we didn't even know we wanted to have a baby, but I needed to get sober. And I did. And 2 weeks after I got sober, I got pregnant, you know, and that was my gift. And I've been sober ever since, and it'll be almost 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really boring. It's very boring.
It's not boring.
Don't you find time goes by quicker?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the downside.
Pisses me off.
Like, it just flies by. I'm just like, shit.
I know.
When you're struggling every day, it seems like life goes by so much slower.
Right. You're like, it's just, it's not, I'm so much better off sober. I really am. But
yeah.
I mean, I know, I stay sober for my children because I don't know if I'd be sober if I didn't have kids, I can tell you. I still have the fantasy of, you know, when the kids go to college that I get to go to Tuscany and drink a bunch of wine. And
we know what would happen. If that was right, the situation,
but wait,
you'd
of course,
never come home. And
wait,
never
why
come home.
Tuscany? Now that, like, well, what about like the weed shops in LA? I drive by them all the time, being like, I wonder what it's like just to like walks into a shop and be like, I'll take that bag of weed.
God, that's I'm actually salivating when I think of that
because it's just it makes me slightly
weed
envious.
Is the one thing I really miss.
Oh God, it's really that's a hard one.
Remember when you used to tell me you didn't smoke pot?
I think you're all fucking mad.
No, you have never, really enjoyed it.
When I see people hanging out, or like standing in line at weed shops, I go, "You poor bastards!"
Right, right.
And I know people listening to this go, "What the hell is she on about?" But I'm like, you stand in line for hours to.
No
do
one
this?
Stands in line for hours. It's weird.
We'd have it delivered. No, yeah. We wouldn't stand in line. But
just get it delivered.
Hey, hold on. What about the lines we see outside weed shops here? Going around yeah. and around.
I know.
That's not one weed shop.
Right.
No, it's not
every
one,
weed
darling.
Shop.
It's not.
There's one by our house.
Sorry.
There's one by our house that like has like a restaurant to it now. So you go get baked and like
and you
eat
get munchies.
Good food.
Very good.
It's like
business.
This whole
like,
thing.
That's like what Amsterdam's all about.
Right.
Though.
Yeah.
I know it helps a lot of people with if they're not feeling good. I know that it's really helped everyone, but I just can't do anything because I want 50 million.
If I had a joint now, in about an hour from now, I'd be in the fucking bar at Beverly Hills.
Same. I'd be next to you.
Then hour after, I'd be buying cocaine.
Yeah.
Then I'd get some smack. Then I'd be fucking dead by 12 o'clock.
Same.
And I know that I can't stop. Once I start, it's all on.
I so get it. Oh, I so get it.
But, you know, and I get pissed off that I can't control it.
I know.
Why can this motherfucker do it and not me?
I know.
Problem is, though, all those people that we thought could control it are all dying now.
Yeah.
Well, everyone in my drinking buddies, they're all fucking dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone.
Yeah.
It just can't happen, and there's too much to be grateful for. There's too much to live for, and that's when I think about it.
But saying that, you know, a friend of mine died of cholera, Lemmy. Mm. He said he did math and booze. And he said to me, "Well, I'm 70. I didn't think I was going to make this. Mm. I could maybe have lived 10 years longer, but I wouldn't have been happy. He lived his life the way he wanted. He knew it was going to happen, and that's cool. He didn't harm anybody else.
I mean,
but me, if I start drinking, I'm on my own before I know. Everybody fucks off, you know." Not a good place to be when you're in a big house like this on your own.
Of course. I know. That's why I admire my dad. He's on medications, but he doesn't do it anymore. He can't either.
Does he drink?
No.
No,
he doesn't drink. It's the same. It's how we're wired. I mean, it's like once I accept it and then I just try to find ways to fill
it. I try to go control it. Every time it just
won't.
I got away with it for a day or two, but eventually I'd piss the bed or fucking.
Of course.
Your thing towards the end was falling and hitting your head.
Remember how many times you kept hitting your head
on the bedside table and like. That was like the big
the worst
worry.
When dad hit his chest on the bedside table.
Oh my God.
That was
he became a big faller.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. I want to just mush your head. You're so fucking cute, Ozzy. I want to go over there and mush your head.
I just want to punch him in his face.
He's so cute. Oh.
Are you still touring?
Yeah. I mean, if you could call it a tour.
Do you know when I saw you perform the other week? That's the first concert I've been in.
Oh my God, in years.
Do you know how happy that made me that you came to see us and that it was your first concert in a long time?
I haven't been to a concert in 20 years.
That Ozzy Osbourne at a Wilson Phillips show.
I was a big fan. I was a real...
Thank you.
I really was.
Thank you.
Back in.
Thank you.
I wondered what happened, you know. Yeah. I said, they're still going.
Yeah. I'm so glad you both came. Yeah, it was cool.
We
you know?
Loved it. We had a blast.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was jealous I wasn't there.
Oh, we have fun on stage. You know what I mean? We just sing like we sing our songs. We sing some Beach Boys, Mamas and Papas, some influential stuff. And we just have a good time. There's a lot of banter. There's a lot of...
China's mother says to me, we've met. I go, I don't think so.
Michelle, yeah. Oh, God, Michelle. Yep. She's the only... She's the surviving member of the Mamas and Papas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That was Connie, by the way.
That wasn't very good. I give that like a C. That was a C.
So wait, you and Mom have done quite a lot of work together in the last few years.
How many shows? Go on, how many shows?
I've hosted over 120 times at the talk.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
I every time I go there, I'm so grateful. I can't even begin.
This podcast is brought to you by HelloFresh.
Who likes fresh food?
Me.
I know you do. I saw in your fridge yesterday that you and Lisa have been doing HelloFresh again.
Yes, we have. Super fresh. Hello.
Now, this is so helpful to me, who has no idea how to even boil water, that it comes with all the fresh ingredients and all the instructions on how to cook it. It's brilliant. But I haven't got to cook it that much because everybody steals it and takes it home.
This is true.
What I think is great, too, is that it cuts out all the meal prep time if people like to meal prep and all of that. It doesn't take long to make. You find yourself learning how to cook things and putting things together that you normally never would. Mm-hmm. They have a vegetarian option as well as I love it.
And two, do you know what? The amount of time that your dad and I go around grocery stores, and we buy all this stuff that we never cook, and we just end up throwing it out at the end of every week.
And this is perfectly portioned. It's like wham, bam, and it's super simple and convenient. So, Kelly, tell our good listeners how they go about getting HelloFresh.
For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com/Osborne's30 and enter Osborne's30.
That is HelloFresh.com/Osborne's30.
And enter Osborne's 30.
Are you like one of the go-to, like, fill-in? Like, if
she's the number one. Like, if anyone isn't there, they call Connie.
I think I've hosted more than anyone else as a fill-in, it's where I want to be. Everybody knows it. But yeah, I mean, please, it's not a secret. But I remember I was thinking about this today, the first time I met your mom, and she was doing her talk show, and it was an evergreen show, and they asked me to come and tape, and I had never met you, and I walked in, and it was so cute. You had your robe on, and you came in the dressing room, and you said to me, "Hello, my sister." And it was the sweetest thing. It was like we never even met, but you called me your sister. And it was just like I immediately loved you and felt connected to you right away. It was beautiful.
Well, because I felt so connected to you because obviously because of your career, I knew you.
Yeah.
I thought I knew you.
Right.
And I was right, because what I thought you would be, you were.
Yeah.
And I can remember years and years ago, I'm at Century City, and you know where the valet is? And you were sat on a bench there waiting for your car, and I was dying to go up and talk to you. And I thought, no, I can't bother her. Can't do that. And I really, really wanted to go and talk to you. And I'm like, no, can't do it.
I can't bother her. I can't believe you're even saying that. That blows my mind. That blows my mind. Well, you know how special I think you are. It's just, it's really beyond words. But I think the reason why we connect is because we've been through so much shit and we're strong. And it's you and I think we're all survivors, and that's at the end of the day, you know, we're survivors.
But you're like me, we get through it through laughter. We just laugh.
Oh, we have to.
Everything. We just
laugh. What the fuck else is there?
Yeah. We laugh and eat, and it's fine.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Speaking of eating, what's up with the baked goods? Let's talk about Love Bites.
You need to come and try a tasting session.
I've had it. I have it, but I want all the listeners to hear about Love Bites. Because this is awesome.
This is it is taking off so big right now that we are actually, we're not nervous, but one of the hardest challenges with a new business when you get a business off the ground is to meet the needs for a production.
Uh-huh. What is Love Bites? Let's start with that.
Love Bites by Carney is a baking company where we make bite-sized desserts, and it's cheesecakes and pound cakes, crumb cakes and brownies. And
they're not just... They're amazing.
Thank you.
They're amazing.
It's portion controlled because I have to eat small. And if I eat big, I feel sick. And it's just kind of like this gastric bypass thing.
It's like sushi of dessert.
It is the sushi of desserts. That's it. Perfect. It is like that.
But how many times do we know we look, if you buy a pie and you start eating one bit, you're going to finish it. And it's like this, you just get a taste and you can walk away.
That's the point.
That's it.
That's the point. And what I did for years and years and years is I was like, all right, I was obsessed with cheesecakes and bread puddings. And I was,
Cheesecake Factories?
I love the Cheesecake Factory.
The one in Chicago, the portions are fucking ridiculous.
They're huge. So, of course...
One salad would have fed six of us.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, well, why can't I just make little ones and make them like, a box of chocolates where you can either have a, variety or you don't feel like a pig. And so it's like the way I live and I like to eat desserts. So anyway, just being very obsessed with that, I got sober and I started baking. So that was the beginning of it all. And then I was making this is not a joke. I was making this cheesecake batter and I'm stirring the batter. And I heard the voice of my grandma, my mom's mom. She was this little cute little Jewish woman. I used to bake with her and make matzo balls. And she would go, your fortune's in your food. Your fortune's in your food. And I'm like, who the fuck is talking to me? I thought I'd hear like an angel on my shoulder. And I'm like, your fortune's in your food. Like,
oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Kelly. It's okay.
Kelly, I didn't mean to do that. Stop. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry. Anyway, so I hear Grandma May, your fortune's in your food. And I'm like, well, listen, what does that really mean, your fortune? Does that mean your good fortune, like your soul and your happiness, your future fortune? Or does it mean like an actual fortune? So I'm like, whoa, what the fuck is this about? And so it was like from that moment on, it was tunnel vision. And I thought, I don't care if I sing another song, if I do another record, if I host another show, whatever happens, I gotta bake. And I started visualizing people eating little tiny desserts.
Hold on a second. Desserts. Are you sure your grandmother wasn't telling you to start a fortune cookie company?
It could be.
I mean, it's. I'm just saying, you might want to reconsider.
Your fortune cookies and your. I know that there was a message given to me, and I'm just like, all right, follow your heart, just fucking go for it. So, and then I had like this long battle inside going, well, I had this gastric bypass in front of people, and I go up and down on the weight and the whole goddamn weight story. And I'm so tired of talking about it. Do I do this? Do I actually have a baking company? And what is that going to mean? And I thought to myself, you know what? I don't give a shit how anyone wants to spin it. I love baking. I make great desserts. I love to watch people eat and feed people. And one of the greatest joys in this world is desserts. And I'm not giving it up for nothing. Mm. And I thought, I'm going to do this because it's what I want to do. Besides my children, it is number one for me.
Yeah.
Number one. It always has been since I started.
Now, every time Connie comes on on the talk and she comes empty handed, we're like, oh no.
It's hysterical.
That's why they've had you back 100 times. Because they're like, hey, let's get the cookie lady back. Let's get the cake lady back.
What have you brought us today?
I swear, it's hysterical. And Cheryl's obsessed with the chicken enchiladas. It's just, it's just what I do. It's like this little part of me that I have to
do. Did you have to open up the second kitchen yet or not?
We had to expand the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So we're going into, we're doing it backwards. We're doing this ass backwards. We're doing mass production before we do small. So we have a cafe bakery, the production facility, the corporate offices, in Oregon. And we were going to open stores all over, 200 to 500 stores. But now we signed with this huge company and their distributor, and it will be literally everywhere you look, it will be. So we're buying these freaking pillow packing machines and dispensers, and it's going to be like, and I said, don't give me a Lucille Ball with these people with the chocolates going down the goddamn belt.
Oh, no.
Because we're going to have handmade, but we have to have these little dispensers because now we're making
thousands.
I mean, this summer it'll be in this grocery store. I can't say the name, but you'll know it. And it's we have to make 18 million cheesecakes a year for this one store.
Jeez.
Yeah,
just a lot of cheesecake.
One store, yeah, and that's just cheesecakes.
Wow. And so you are head chef. Like, how does it work? Are you? Is it all your recipes? That's
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
There's no one else.
Nope. I create all the recipes at home. I test them all at home until I think they're ready. I send them off to Carrie Ellen, who's our culinary director, who is an amazing pastry chef and runs the whole kitchen. The whole kitchen was designed and actually built for Love Bites production. So I send the recipes out. They take it and they take like if the recipe I make yields 60 little cakes, she takes it and goes, okay, now we got to make 6,000 a batch. And what do I do? How much flour? How much right. shit am I yeah. putting in here? It's really intense.
You've got to be like a mathematician to work that
she
one
is.
Out.
And you know what? It was funny you say that. She majored in accounting first. So I got, it was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I had the accountant who can do the math, but then she's also a whiz at pastry and you know, desserts.
Yeah.
So, and we have a whole team right now. We've got about 25 employees, soon to be around 50. And, you know, we want to turn around in 10 years and sell the company for $1 billion. That's
good
that's
goal.
The,
that's amazing.
That's what we want
to
do.
That's a good goal.
It's a good goal.
That's a solid goal.
Yeah.
So where can people find Love Bites by Carney currently?
Currently, you can order online, lovebitesbycarney.com. Let's see. We've got, it's this budding thing where I'm not allowed to say where it's going, but shit, it's going to be right in front of your face. It by the end of the summer, you'll see it everywhere. I'm frustrated.
That's good because it's time for Christmas.
Exactly, the holidays.
And
yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Oh, you wait,
yeah.
I think we, because I came over for a meeting around Thanksgiving and right. you made some Thanksgiving-y. You were R&Ding some stuff.
I made you The pumpkin brownie.
Yes.
Yeah, the swirl. Pumpkin swirl.
It was gangster.
It was good. It was different. It was good.
It's always fun getting to test your R&D goodies.
I know. Yeah. So, I mean, we're pumping it up, but it's really scary how many desserts we're making right now.
18 million.
Yeah, I know.
Are you still
going
to be doing it for that one airline, maybe?
So, yeah, that's why we got a pillow packer machine, because I'm hoping Alaska Airlines will jump on this, yeah, to sell some stuff up in their first class section. And, you know, the plans are massive. I mean, airport gift shops, you know, it's one of these things where we're hoping it to be more like a Mrs. Fields, you know, and that it's everywhere.
Oh, God, didn't we love Mrs. Fields? Oh, we were addicted to the lemon cake.
Didn't we just love Mrs.
But isn't
Fields?
It called Mrs. You're going, Beasley.
Oh, Mrs. Beasley's
fucking yeah. village eating them.
Oh, I know. And I just met that woman, Nancy, who created Mrs. Grace Lemon Cake and Mrs. Yeah. Beasley's, and we were talking about everything. It was really cool. But you know, we're actually conscious of health as well. I mean, most of the desserts are gluten free, and we've got vegan stuff too. I've got great cookies. And, yeah. You know, it's just something for everybody. You
the
know,
Kelly line.
We have the Kelly line.
Because literally, I now am moving up the date that I'm coming over because the one thing I'm missing since going vegan is that.
Good desserts.
There's not a lot of sweet options. Yeah. That, and if there are, they all have the same consistency,
right.
Like texture.
Yeah.
And like a slice of cake, if you like put it on a plate of like normal cake. And then you put a piece of vegan cake on a plate. Vegan cake is so heavy.
I got you that good one, though, when we were in Florida, that carrot cake.
Dude, that was the one that made me think of it. It weighed like 4
it was,
pounds.
It was like pure fiber.
That, you know, I know this. I have got this one cookie that is like a scone. And it is so fucking delicious that I can't take it. And it's this lemon blueberry. And it's just beyond, and that's the one that I think vegans will go crazy for. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to that because it really is like a scone. Mm.
Oh, you
like
got to try it on Sarah.
Exactly. I have sent Sarah a few things, but this is a new one. I think Sarah will.
Oh,
love.
Kel, you should talk to because Sarah's got her finger on the vegan pulse.
Yep. Yeah,
you need a touch.
She'll hook you up with good stuff.
Dialed in, get you that good vegan cheese.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a cheese shop down the street from here that's a vegan cheese shop.
There's enough vegan cheese now?
Talk about farting. That would be frightening. I can't even.
Oh, it's next level.
I just can't even.
All day.
It's so scary.
Connie, this has been a lot of fun.
You guys are one of my favorite families ever. And thank you for having me.
I love
Thanks
you
for coming.
So much,
I just
Connie.
Love
now,
you guys.
Listen,
all for your individuality and everything. You're
you
wonderful.
You got to come back when you can. Tell everyone where they're going to find it and
yeah.
everything.
We
and
should
so.
Do like a total taste test.
That would
yes.
be great.
You know
should.
What I'd love
yes.
to do? I'd love to blindfold you and for you to tell me which what you're eating each one of them and see
love.
If you get them right.
Love. I love games.
Do the blind taste test here
yeah.
on the podcast.
I love that. I would love to
that
come back anytime.
That would be great.
Yes.
All right, groovy,
we love
groovy.
You,
I love you. Love you. Love you too.
Connie.
Love you too.
Woo-hoo. Thank you.